Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Clock, the National Football League draft rapidly approaching. We talked about wrestling going back to live and Ronda Rousey's situation, but I'll ask you, NBA horse. What did you think of the NBA horse competition?
Look, I'm not going to take shots at people that are looking to provide us some content, but obviously, like, it wasn't great. I didn't make it through the entirety of the competition. The Chauncey Trae Young matchup was. Like, we're only doing free throws? Like, I turned to my dad.
Is that the one you're looking for? Yeah.
I go, Dad, like, nobody's even, like, bounced the ball off the court and, like, try. You know what I mean? Like, you know when you, like, bounce it and you try and make it, like, no one's done anything cool.
Well, that was
like,
my thing. Yeah, it wasn't so much because everyone was complaining about the quality of the video.
Nah, it's, yeah.
Which, and I even defended them. I said, guys, they're doing their best. Like, it's not easy to do what they're doing with this. But you're right. Like, I can tell right away Trae Young starts the first shot. He does a little layup. It's like, bro, like, you were talking smack on Twitter about how half court only and stuff.
Right.
Like, I actually thought Trae Young would be, like, on the other side of his lawn and stuff and be, like, bombing, like, 70-footers and saying, try that, Chauncey. Right? Like,
yeah, like, Trae Young played it safe to try to win and blew a 3-0 letter lead. And
you know, it's funny how bad of a shooter he was.
He was
missing free throws, Trae Young. Yeah. He's supposed to be this assassin. He threw a free throw on one foot. He couldn't do it.
and this is the weirdest thing, right? And it's part of the reason why it's like, oh, my God, like, look at that. I am convinced that there's no way he was anywhere near regulation with his free throws and three-point shots. Like, and nor was his rim, like, regulation height. It looked like he could be, like, he could dunk on it with ease. And Chauncey kept saying, he's like, oh, come on, man, you're hating on it, whatever. And then I guess Chauncey was, this is the thing about horse. This is why when we did the basketball show with Jared, I was like, Chauncey, is something, it's like that, you know when they talk like old man strength? It's like, you're not going to go out there and I feel like hand it to Chauncey Billups and horse. Like, he's like, yeah, because at one point he goes, yeah, I'm about to get going. I'm going to put you in the dirt. And then it's just, he rips off five in a row.
Yeah, no, well, that's the thing. Chauncey, he doesn't miss. And I thought that Billups had a chance coming into this thing. My pick was Quigley before, and you saw this, she doesn't miss. Like, she's deadly. Yet, I didn't realize it was going to be stretched out as long as it was. I thought it was like a one-night deal. As well, you know, you're betting, people are betting on something. Someone's in a gym.
Right.
Someone else is like windy as hell. Tamika Catching was going to blow away. Like, you hear the wind. She's right, like, hold on, right. I'm waiting for the wind to die down. Right away, I thought, I'm like, man, anyone had bet on her, you're screwed. She's in Oklahoma in the wind type of thing. Like, she had like some crazy wind plays. Yeah, I was surprised too that Trae Young was all awkward. His driveway was sideways. He's like taking shots.
He hasn't. I guess he hasn't gotten that extension that he obviously will get from the Hawks.
Yeah, exactly.
He feels a very, very nice gym. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted him to throw it off like the roof of his house, and then Chauncey would be like, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" And then he'd be like, "Ah, you get a letter." Like, they didn't have. Trae Young didn't have fun with it, like, in my opinion, which is, like, again, what it is.
You know, to me,
like,
the funnest one was actually Chris Paul and Quigley, where that was the best one, where there was a little five-minute span there where neither of them missed.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Paul actually was trying, like, stupid stuff. Like, I remember saw Paul, like, Paul was like, all right, stand on one foot, turn around, spin around, jump, and do it with your left hand. And it's obviously something he's done a lot.
Right.
And he did it. Tutu swish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, let's see you do that, Ali. She did it. Like, he was like, yeah, you can see him. He sort of dribbled the ball hard. He's like, all right, let me raise it up a notch. I was like, you ain't beating her, bro. You ain't beating her. But that's how desperate we are now. That's what it came down to. But we do have the NFL draft around the corner right now. So let me ask you, me and Cam have spent a lot of time talking about the props. What are like one, two, or three of your top bets right now so far that you're looking at coming into the draft?
So I'll tell you, so I did that that top 10 mock draft video on the Grid's YouTube channel for those who haven't seen it, and I gave out like a top three bets on that video. Two of them within 24 hours. I like to believe that people who saw the video started to get after it. There's a tab. This is the cool thing about the FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got a lot of different tabs you can go through, and it's offense or defense, and it's whether the team will select offense or defense with their first pick.
Yeah.
And the Panthers were +112 to take defense. And I was like, that's wild. That's Isaiah Simmons or Derrick Brown. And it's now, I think, -280.
Wow.
And the Browns were -108 to take offense, -118 defense, -108 to take offense. And I said, I go, find a mock draft where they don't take an offensive tackle. You can't find one. It's now -430 for them to take offense. Now, what good is that to me, give like to give those people? Because you can't go bet those now. You missed the boat. I got a new one. The New Orleans Saints, it's -108 for offense, -118 defense. I think the defense should be way higher. The 24th overall pick in the draft, linebacker's their biggest need. And again, you continually go through different mock drafts and you look at the team position needs. It's linebacker, 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 whether it be Patrick Queen out of LSU or Kenneth Murray out of Oklahoma, consistently the pick. And anytime it goes off that beaten path, it's pretty much a corner. So I think defense at -118 for the New Orleans Saints is really worth the look right now.
I can't, I like your logic. One thing I'll say about Cleveland, it's almost like the number now dictates that you bet against that play.
Yeah.
Now it's super high and you don't,
100%.
They are erratic, right? You know, that's the thing with football teams. And I bring this up often. They're not logical, NFL football teams. You know, that's why they're bad. There's a reason why the Cleveland Browns have never been to a Super Bowl. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, pre-cap, post-cap. Oh, salary caps will equalize everything. Oh, didn't equalize Jack for the Browns. Hasn't changed anything for the Bengals. Hasn't changed anything for the Lions. Like, bad teams make bad decisions on an annual basis, right? See, it's tough when you're betting on this draft, especially when you're betting on flaky teams. You never really know what they're going to do. So anytime I can get plus money with something like that, I'd like to take a look.
No, I mean, and that's why +112 and -108 at the time, I'm like, oh, these are regular bets, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, these draft props that are favored to hit, I mean, you got to – I think it's $200 will win you a dollar that Joe Burrow will go inside the top five. Like, who's betting that? No one's betting that. You know what I mean? But now the way those odds have moved, I'd go the other direction on both bets if I had to, because I'm not laying that kind of juice. And they're not – unfortunately, I wish you had more parlay options with the draft. And you know, FanDuel's usually aggressive when it comes to parlays, but they're not doing it for this one.
No, they don't like doing parlays for draft. Philadelphia is minus 200. So you're Kevin's a Philadelphia Eagle fan. Mm-hmm. You're minus 200 to select offense.
Yeah.
First with their pick. Defense pays plus 154 right now at FanDuel. Yet it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. If you look at the odds, it's basically like FanDuel is locked in that it's going to be a wide receiver. There's people are like, so that's what I'm talking about. Like every mock draft, every logical thing says, well, the Eagles need a wide receiver.
Yep.
Right. So that they're gonna draft a wide receiver. It's as simple as that. Do you agree with that take? That they, you know, because it's weird. Certain teams, put it this way. The Eagles have always needed a wide receiver, and they haven't done it.
Yeah.
I'm a Buffalo Bill fan. Mm-hmm. Same thing, bro. We always need a wide receiver. We never draft a wide receiver. And it's baffling. It's like, you know, we need a wide receiver, and we didn't do it again.
Yeah,
it's almost like you guys with defensive backs.
Yeah.
Everyone's got you locked in now to wide receiver. Wouldn't shock me. You guys can take a DB. You need DBs.
Yeah, we could use a linebacker really, really bad. It's really interesting. I mean, the one thing is you started to see more and more and more that apparently they're in love with Justin Jefferson, and if he's there, the LSU wide receiver, he's going to be the guy. But again, it's like I remember we really talked about this a lot when it came to the Super Bowl when we were doing our preview shows on In-Game Live, right? And I was like, oh, I like this bet. And you were kind of – and I remember you kind of like, you know, you're giving me the game, and you're like, look, well – figure out why, right? It's like the over-under first touchdown number, right? Say it was like 26.5. And I'm like, yeah, I think Damian Williams scores the first touchdown. And you're like, so Walsh, bet Damian Williams to score the first touchdown. What are you – like, you know what I mean? Like, so this is the thing. If I think they're going to take wide receiver because they love Justin Jefferson, then I can bet Justin Jefferson at plus money to be the Eagles' first pick. And I'll add this quickly as well. Like, if they're going to take offense, it's almost a guarantee to be wide receiver. But – there's a prop there. Will the Eagles take wide receiver with their first pick or linebacker, DB? Wide receiver's minus 200. You just said the offense, defense, they're also minus 200. Don't bet them to take wide receiver minus 200. Take offense. You've now added every offensive position for free. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, you have to play the markets at the FanDuel Sportsbook because they vary and there's value all over the place.
It's nuts. So, as you mentioned, so Justin Jefferson's plus 155. Mm-hmm. To be selected by the Philadelphia Eagles. First pick by the Eagles, Justin Jefferson, LSU. I'm a fan of his.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. He's actually not the most popular receiver in this draft. I mean, some people have him fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, or whatever. There's so many great receivers here, but it's amazing, just one after another. Denzel Mims. I don't see Mims going 21st overall.
No.
I think that's a little bit of a reach. That's at 5-1. Ruggs is at plus 650.
I think Ruggs, I think the more interesting bet with Ruggs.
Value. I'd rather Ruggs at plus 650 than I'm just saying the bet. Well, you can take them both.
Sure.
If you want to roll the dice and hope that they take Ruggs.
I think there's a chance Ruggs comes off the board at 11 with the New York Jets. Reportedly, they love the kid. And they're the Jets, right? So if I think Jerry Judy's better and you think CeeDee Lamb's better, it doesn't matter. Because if Joe Douglas is obsessed with what
I'm a Bills fan, so I hope the Jets are the Jets and screw up like they always do. But this is the first draft with Joe Douglas in charge, right? He came after the draft last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
And you know Douglas if from Philadelphia. He knows what he's doing. He's good.
No, he does. And I mean, this is the thing. That to me, that's why I would think it'd be offensive line for them because the Eagles always prioritize offensive line. The Jets could still use another tackle. But if they're obsessed with Ruggs and they want to get the top, you know, wide receiver to them on the board, I think it's like plus 750. I don't have it up in front of me, but Ruggs to be the Jets' first pick, I mean, it's a better price. I would say it's more likely the Jets take him than he lands all the way down the board to Philly. I don't think he falls that far.
The Jets are interesting. CeeDee Lamb makes a lot of sense to the Jets as well. It seems like, you know, Adam Gase is a weird dude because Adam Gase is an offensive mind and he's a good play caller. Like he is, he knows what he's doing, but at the same point in time, he hates star players. So it's like, so basically it's almost like when they say, wow, there's my future ex-wife. Right? It's like, basically Gase is drafting some stud player top, let's say CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Judy. Yet he doesn't like you. And in 3 or 4 years, you'll be gone because you're going to clash with him because he doesn't like anyone as good. Like, it's weird. Like, Adam Gase wants to win and he's a competitor. And he's got good, like, football IQ. But his people skills are so bad, he runs good players out all the time. Like, it's like a catch-22. Like, they'll always just be spinning their wheels.
Maybe, though, I don't know. Maybe he'll have a better connection with guys that he drafts, and maybe they'll feel like Adam Gase guys. I don't know if
they were 6-2 in the last eight games, though. I got to give him credit.
Yeah, no, and that's, I mean, and the thing is, like, you look at it, man. Like, they lose Robbie Anderson. They bring in Breshad Perriman. They needed more wide receiver talent last year, so wide receiver makes sense. I mean, but so does offensive tackle. They tried to throw a bunch of darts at the board throughout free agency when it comes to the offensive line, but it wasn't a great free agency class for offensive linemen, and they still need more help at that position, no doubt about it.
So who do you want as a Philadelphia Eagle fan as far as the wide receivers? Look, so Jefferson.
I want Judy to fall. But
Jefferson, that's not happening. I don't know. Like, it actually could. Wide receivers, teams hesitate. Yeah. There's so
this
many good ones, right?
Yes.
The team's going to say, I like Judy, but I could get Ayuk in the second round. And he might be as good. And there's just so many of those. And then even some are going to say, I can get Ayuk now, but I can get this guy in the fourth round. So the wide receivers, it's such a deep class, it might hurt them where they get taken.
That's what I'm trying to figure out is, does everybody say, nah, I'll get my wide receiver in the second and allows these guys to fall? Or if you remember a couple drafts back when the Titans were at 5 and they grabbed Corey Davis and it was like, what? Wow, that's pretty early. And then the Chargers were like, oh, well, we need to get our wide receiver. So they take Mike Williams. And then the Bengals are like, all right, us too.
Yeah,
and
because these idiots in the NFL are like us in fantasy football. As soon as someone takes something, there's a run on that position.
Right. Like, that's the thing. That should only happen in fantasy drafts, not the real NFL draft. But it's a thing. So if all of a sudden, right, at, I don't know, let's say at 7, the Panthers are like, no, Jerry Judy's an elite talent. We don't need defense. And then, boom, it's Judy. Well, now, at 9, the Jaguars are like, well, CeeDee Lamb's the best player on the board. Let's do it. And now Ruggs at 11, and they're all gone before the Raiders are even up to the plate.
A player that's getting a lot of love right now is Lynn Bowden of Kentucky. He's a trendy player right now. Great wide receiver class. There really is. Like, you know, look, Hamler is not even in the top 10 rankings of wide receivers out of Penn State, and this kid is good. Mims, I think, is ranked a little high. Rieger is interesting as well. Out of all these kids, though, I do like Jefferson. I like the catches that he made, but he played in such a dynamic offense, right? Yeah. But what I liked about him was there was a lot of one-on-ones and that spectacular sort of one-handed catch. He reminds me of Beckham. He's like, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's who he reminds me of. Coming from the same school, same body height type. You know, it's funny, too, because people said the same thing about Beckham. He's not that fast. He doesn't have breakaway speed. Well, he seems to be fast enough to get open, right?
Seems to be fast enough to break 80-yard slants to the house. It's crazy the things that people will say to, like, downgrade certain players. But
with Jefferson. He's not. Well, he ran a 4.43. What do you want from him?
This is the thing with the Eagles, though. I could see them trading back. I could see them sitting there hoping like hell that one of those big three fall back. They don't, and they go, you know what? Who wants to come up here? Does anybody here want to jump the Pats to get Jordan Love? Like, is anybody dying for a corner that's fallen? And it wouldn't surprise me if the Eagles traded back. And once that starts happening, that's when this offense, defense stuff and all these things get really weird. Because now you're there and the Justin Jefferson's on the board, but they've traded back so far, and he comes off the board at 22 to the Vikings.
Kevin Walsh. So, Kevin, at least we've got the NFL draft right now.
Yeah.
I've been pretty pessimistic as far as the sports futures is concerned about, you know, when leagues are going to play. But I think there is a light at the end of the tunnel, guys. I think, you know, there's still rough times ahead. There's not going to be complete normalcy for a while. Fans won't be involved for a while. But, you know, we can't guarantee anything, but I do think there will be NFL football. Does it start September the 10th or whatever it is supposed to start on? I don't know. Might be starting in October or November, but I do think NFL football will be around the corner. Get on the grid.
Yeah. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Get on the grid, Sports Grid. I am Gabriel Morenzi. I'm on the grid, and so is Kevin Walsh. Kevin, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Doing good, Gabe. Yeah, excited to get into it. You know, it's always fun. It's a nice way to kind of start my week, these shows.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff to get to, actually, Kevin, so let's get right down to business, actually. Ronda Rousey made waves over the weekend by stating that she's done with professional wrestling. She didn't say she'd never wrestle again, but she said it isn't something that she could do full time and put her entire life into it. I have a family and I love my kids and my husband and all that other type of stuff. And then she went on to say, but really it's because of the ungrateful, unappreciative fans.
Yeah.
And she upset a lot of people. She upset other wrestlers. There was the talk of, you know, all you people take fake fighting so seriously. It's fake. It's not real. Everybody needs to chill out. People got very upset. Yet I ask you, was this just a work? Was it a shoot to get her back, you know, get her name back? And, you know, what better way to make her a villain than to say, you know what, the fans are stupid and I hate them.
Yeah, so the thing is, like, Ronda is a true fan. Like, she's a fan of professional wrestling. Like, that's a real thing. Like, her love for Piper is real. I don't know if you ever heard of PWG, but it's, like, an independent in Southern California. That's, like, all of the best wrestlers today have come through there. There's clips of her ringside at a PWG event. Somebody actually, it's a great little spot. They bring over the guy they're wrestling, and they pull the arms back, and they tell Ronda to chop the dude. And this is before she had ever got into wrestling. Like, so she is a legitimate fan, so I think she's working. I think, and it's funny, she sent out a great tweet where she quoted an all-time Hulk Hogan tweet where it's like, good night, Jabroni Marks, when you work yourself into a work and all of a sudden you're working into a shoot. It's like Hogan, just brother.
But the thing with her is you never really know because that is her. So,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, she could have done, I think she really means it. And then after she spins it, like, oh, you know what, I'll just turn this into a shoot. Or it really is a little of pattern, a little bit of A and B.
I think it's, you know, like a lot of times in wrestling, when you get the best stuff, it's when there's a little bit of realism that's like added into it. And this was part of her character as she was coming to the end of her, I guess, first run, if you will, at WrestleMania 35, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair in the main event. So kind of just like taking shots at the fans. The one thing about the, like, again, shoot, people do shoot and all that, but it's not helpful when she completely drags down wrestling and she's like, it's fake fighting. Because now it's like, well, who's benefiting from this? Like, when you lose, you look like an idiot because you just lost in your fake fight. But now who's getting over, right? Because nobody's beating Ronda. They're just being booked to win matches. So it doesn't have the same feel. That's why it doesn't. There's different ways they could do it.
She, you know, to me, she's more, I was going to say she's more trouble than she's worth, but I just punched Ronda Rousey's name in right now. I just wanted to get the quotes. And you know what site I'm reading this off of right now? People.com. I don't think, like, you know what I mean? Is People.com talking about, you know, what Misha Tate is saying right now?
No.
And also, right? And say, you and I talk about Brock Lesnar sucking and about how bad he is, right? And he is just terrible.
Yeah, right.
Yet don't know. Like, they, you know, Kurt Angle said he puts ass in the seats. Evidently, he gets people attention. Otherwise, Dana White in the UFC wouldn't bend over backwards for him all the time.
Right. And here's the other thing with Ronda. You have to give her her credit, right? Like, so the Women's Revolution was something that was continually building throughout WWE. But I don't know if they main event WrestleMania without Ronda Rousey. Like, that's a real thing. And
that's a good point.
I definitely think that she could be working towards a comeback. But I'll tell you this. There's a way for them to execute this, and it's this is where you have to, unfortunately, put your faith into the WWE to tell the story appropriately, where they take shots at, and she has to be willing to it. They
just
take
put her in a funhouse match. Come on.
Yeah. But they got to take shots at her.
This is your life, Ronda. Holly Holm knocking her out.
Yeah. Oh my God, Bray would
See,
be
the
all.
The thing is, what wrestling is though. And, you know, I've followed Ronda. I've known, like, her entire career through MMA and everything. And she really does, though, want it both ways in real life. That's why, like, to me, there's a lot of truthfulness to this. She wants to be the badass bully, but she also wants to be the sweetheart girl next door that everyone loves at the same time. Mm-hmm. Right? And the biggest key to wrestling, and I was kidding about the fun match, the fun house stuff. The biggest key to wrestling is having a sense of humor. And a self-deprecating selfie humor. The people that I love Bret Hart, but that was the problem with Bret Hart. It's like, dude, who cares, bro? You're losing in Canada.
Nah,
you're from, and what?
Yeah, like, but I was never going like, to sit well with Bret.
Yeah, but but you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. These guys, I read an interview with King Kong. I heard a shoot with King Kong Buddy about that. He goes, man, these guys, they get upset about losing and their character, this. And he's like, some of these guys really think they're like the guy. And he goes, they're not. But he goes, they think they are. He goes, good for them. It makes them better wrestlers. He goes, for me, it was just a job. But Ronda is that sort of person. I think it pisses her off when people hate her and stuff. For real.
Right. But here's another thing, right? So you know exactly how her entire UFC career went, right? She loses, fades away forever, tried to come back. She did no media during the buildup, lost the fight, didn't do
the fight. She's not gracious or classy at all. That's the thing.
Going into WrestleMania, and this is where she probably, I don't know how she feels when the shoe's on the other foot. Becky Lynch is doing interviews saying, you watch, with Ariel Helwani, you watch. I'll beat her, and she'll crawl right back into that hole like she always does. She's not mentally strong enough to cut it in this game. And it's one of those things like, yeah, let her know, Becky.
Yeah, and she was right.
And she's gone. And that's the thing.
Kevin, because in wrestling, there's going to be times where maybe for 2 years, people make fun of you. For 2 years, you're the good, you know, people are going to love you. They're like, and you have to roll with it. You have to understand you're an actor. I think she gets it because she knows wrestling, but I think she has a hard time with it. And then going out there and realizing, well, I've got to go out here, like, on tour, and, yeah, I'm not even a champ. I got to lose and get beat up by Alexa Bliss for the next month. I think she's thinking, F that. I'm not doing that, right?
But the thing is, like, she has to – the only time she was pinned was in the match with Becky and Charlotte. And honestly, like, it was a roll-up. Like, she didn't have to tap to the disarmer. Like, so there's still so much there. And that's the thing. If she comes back – if she does come back, Gabe, she's going to be the most hated woman on the roster because of all of this stuff. You know what
so
I mean?
So it worked then.
No, and that's the thing. But she has to be ready for that. She can't come back and be like, hi, everybody. Like, no, like we've now worked ourselves into
fans.
Well, she's damn sure ain't coming back until this day.
So just for the record, what she said, my family loves me and they appreciate me and all I want my energy going to them. That was my decision at the end of the day. It's like, hey, girls, I love what you're doing. I'm going to try and take all my momentum and push you guys as far as I can. Fly, little birds. I'm flying home. And that was basically it. Then Rousey goes on to say, a couple of days later, anyone who was outraged by me calling pro wrestling fake fights for fun has never been in a real fight. When you're all top tippy-toeing around, bruising some pro wrestlers' huge soft egos, no one is thinking about real fighters. You're insulting when pretending pro wrestling is somehow the same level of realism. And I'll tell you one thing. And you're a fan of MMA and of wrestling. And I can say I spoke to King Mo. Remember King Mo?
Mm-hmm.
So King Muhammad, champion. He was in Strikeforce, etc. And or Bellator and whatever the hell. King Mo has done both. he told me the pro wrestling is harder. Frank Trigg has done both. He said the pro wrestling is harder. They all said the same thing. I'd rather get punched in the face than, like, do the stuff you have to do in wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, like, King Mo was like, it's a bitch. Like, you know, like, little things people don't even realize. Bouncing yeah. off the ropes, bro, hurts your back.
Yeah, your like sides, the, like, right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, like, the rope in your back. It's not, like, a natural thing. I, you know, one of the best interviews, you know, I've ever done, one of my favorite interviews, and the viewers loved it, was years ago. I had Raven on a couple of times. And Raven was crazy, right? Yeah, Raven, yeah. like, would chew on light bulbs and, you know, the ECW Philly stuff and, like, the whole, like, over-the-top, hardcore stuff. Yeah. And I said to him, I said, man, I said, you know, you're chewing on light bulbs and thumbtack matches and glass and all that type of stuff. And he goes, that stuff, when you get a little glass in your back, it's no big deal. He goes, the worst part of wrestling is the little things that no one knows. And he goes, the ropes. He goes, the ropes kill you. And he was talking about, like, the your opponent will step on your hand accidentally and stuff like that. He's like, it's the little things. You know, you get your pinky stepped on. Like, he's like, you land awkwardly. He's talking about, like, and all fighters said the same thing to me. They're like, yeah, you get punched in the face, you can kind of avoid it. Like, they're like, there's no avoiding it. You're coming down, you know you're landing. And it's not like that. There's nothing fake about landing on, like, a mat and stuff. Because not just the ring anymore. You're landing in weird spots all the time nowadays.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look at the spots. I'll put over the NXT ladder match that they have with the women's wrestling. And one of the girls took a power bomb off of the turnbuckle to the outside. I didn't think that felt. Like, you'd think that she got up after and was like, like, they didn't even, and the craziest thing is, a lot of the WWE stuff, they've been able to put crash pads down to, like, save people. They didn't even put a crash pad down for this one. They're like, no, we're going for it. And it's like, I respect that. And I also saw another great comment, and this is where you gotta love, like, when wrestlers, like, all band together and different things, and they were like, hey, Ronda, why don't you do 100 death matches and see how you feel?
Yeah.
Like, come get these light tubes to the head and
get in there with Terry Funk. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So old school, and, like, we'll see how, like, fake any of this stuff is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. And it's funny, too, because you and I talked before about The Undertaker was sort of the policeman for them. I've heard stories about Vince, when he gets mad at someone, he'll tell the ring crew, tighten the ropes. Tighten the ropes.
I believe it.
Yeah, so there's no give, right? Yeah. Like, people think it's like a movie. Oh, it's all fun, eh? They're bouncing around. No, it's not all that fun. Like, they're saying, you know what I mean? They're taking a freaking beating, especially when Vince rolls them out there all the time.
Right.
So, speaking of which, I brought it up earlier, the Bundesliga, the German soccer leagues looking to get back on track. Serie A, EPL, they all sort of have plans to sort of try to get back going. Vince McMahon announces that he's going live instead of pre-taping.
Yeah.
He's going live. All Elite is pre-taping on a weekly basis. They're not going live. Vince says, no, we're going to start to go live. And from what I understand, word on the street is a lot of wrestlers are very unhappy. It was one thing to suck it up for WrestleMania.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We get it. And I would get it. Yeah, we're doing WrestleMania. We'll figure out a way to do this. Doesn't mean you all need to risk your lives to shoot live Raw right now. Like, it's... I don't know. Why don't just tape it? I don't understand the point of this. And to see the diabolicalness of it, I read, he gave everyone... like a waiver, a piece of paper that basically says if the cops show up, which lets you know he knows he's wrong right away.
Of course he does.
Like, so he's like, he already told everyone. He goes, listen, when they show up, you're an essential person as part of this.
Essential media.
You're essential
media. But they're not essential employees because none of them are damn full time. Because God forbid we actually treated them appropriately. Here's the craziest part of this whole thing, right? So you mentioned, like, AEW. They did all of their pre-tapings in Georgia. The cops came. They tried to shut it down. They were like, look, we got this, bang, bang. They were like, okay, you have till now. And AEW, like, reportedly banged out enough tapings to last them a couple months. So they're not doing anything. They're just
back. That's why, like, Jericho was in his backyard and they're doing things now, right? Wherever they can come up. Yeah, because I heard you're right. They got booted out of Georgia and they went to Jacksonville after.
All right. So But with the thing with WWE is this is part of the report, and this is where this is all like so messy. Apparently, in their deals with the USA Network and Fox, they can only have a certain amount of taped episodes. And of course, with like the European tours and
things, they've already used it up.
So now, I don't know if these networks are truly holding their feet to the fire.
No. Because that's what I was going to say. Because there's no way in hell legally, if you know, you and I aren't lawyers, obviously, but I don't need to be a sports lawyer that went to Iona. You guys got a law? You got sports law over there?
There's no way we're sending out lawyers into the... Nah, we think we might.
Listen, Bad B. Bryant can't spell law. if I spot him, he ain't a W. I'm just kidding, kid. I miss him.
It's a 50-50 shot.
Yeah. But, it's crazy because... The lack of regard, basically, as you stated, he doesn't need to do it. That's what I don't really get. Like, you know what I mean? You're forcing yourself to do this for the TV tapings. And so, as you mentioned, I saw this as well. And the same thing with the NBA. I guess the NBA, Kevin, they owe 70 games. It's sort of like a bet. Football game must go 55 minutes. TV contract, they owe them 70 games. They got to like 62 or 63 or something.
Right.
That's why the NBA could deliver a week a game, stop again, and say to the networks, you owe us $2 billion for the year. Right? And if they don't, then suddenly... But I'm just saying, Kevin, I think Vince is using it as an excuse. Because there's no way in hell Fox and these corporations are going to be liable to say, so what, you guys force them to go live because of your contract? I think Vince wants to go live to show he's tough. He's getting kicked his ass. AEW is kicking his ass.
Right.
I think he's just tired of sitting on his hands right now.
It wouldn't surprise me. And look, I mean, they're also not even taking certain measures. There's a tweet. Jerry Lawler was like, I called the airport and asked when their flight left for Orlando. And the airport was like, well, what time can you be here? I mean, Jerry Lawler, you talk about, when it comes to vulnerability in the age, Jerry Lawler should be sitting at home. There's a reason why his buddy Jim Ross, who they did this forever with and now works for AEW, ain't been there in a long time. Because they sent JR home. You know,
JR has bad luck, too. He'll get it right away if he was there.
Yeah. But, it's crazy, man. And it's not taking – I don't know
but
why –
that's the thing. Athletes are real people.
Yes.
It's the same thing with sports, right? And people are sort of like – wow, put him in a bubble. Put him here. Put him in Arizona. Put him in this. It's like, guys, they're real people. They're scared of the virus as well. That's the thing. I read a wrestler say that he's like, we're real people. That was essentially the thought. Like, basically, people are saying, oh, they're soft. Go to work. Well, you go to work. Go roll around in that mat. You know what I mean? Hold the thought. We got to take a quick break. We'll get into some NFL draft talk with Kevin as well. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get on the grid, Sports Grid. Game time decisions continue. So welcome to everybody listening to us on SB Nation, the loudest station in the nation. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're throwing it down with the Raging Redhead, Tim Stewart. We're talking about the National Football League draft. We're taking your questions, so we'll get into a couple of other loose ends from the sports world as well. But I am fired up for this National Football League draft. There's just been so many hypotheticals, Cam, about, well, maybe they'll play and maybe in this month and maybe in that month.
Yep.
But with all that being stated, actually, I think there is somewhat of a light at the end of the tunnel. And we have to be careful how we integrate things ourselves back into society.
Yes.
Because there will be second and third waves, and we're going to be living in a new normal right now. But you and I have talked about it. The leagues do have to try to figure things out.
Yeah.
And we're seeing right now in Europe, they're starting to come together a little bit, which will be pretty cool, actually, Cam. The Bundesliga. Mm. That's not the Belarusian Women's League and crap.
They're real.
That's
they're
a good. Real league. That's a, you know, that's as good as, you know, it's a as good as it gets. It's a real pro sports league. So I think, Cam, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Probably about a month from now, we'll have some more real sports to start to bet on as the Bundesliga is coming together. Taiwan baseball is back, but I really don't. I'm not betting on Taiwan baseball four in the morning all the time just because they're playing baseball in Taiwan.
Exactly.
Right? Bundesliga is a real sport. It's a real league with real teams and real players. The Serie A in Italy.
They're trying,
but, you know, I would slow down if I was in Italy
right now. I agree. Yes.
The thing is, they're getting impatient, Cam. They've been in lockdown for a while there. They're getting pissed off. You figure with all the dead people, they would figure, hey, you know, we better chill out. But
exactly.
They missed their soccer, Cam.
Yes. That's a good point. Yeah, like it's like soccer, like it's been very
yeah,
very,
like you think Trump wants NFL football? Like, trust me, in Italy, like people are like, when's football coming back? Right? Like they want it back. This is interesting though. Germany basically said no fans. They didn't make it official.
Yeah.
There's no fans in their league this year. Like that's a fact. But they basically stated it's their advice to everyone in Europe. And Cam, Germans are smart, bro.
Yeah, right. And like very ingenuitive. Yes,
they're not stupid.
On top of things. Yeah.
They said that there shouldn't be any fans until like next year.
Well, that's when they're talking about the vaccine.
21. Does that make sense? Yes, that's January 21. Not like this year, like January 1st. No. Pretty much, like we said, about 18 months from now. They said, and it's almost a non-starter. I guess the Germans like. Because you need permission in Germany. Like Merkel and everyone have to say, all right, you guys can do this. And the way Germany is doing it, they're going to play in all their stadiums. They're playing in the regular stadiums, no fans.
Yep.
Yet they're going condensed. Kind of what I brought up with the NFL, which actually be pretty cool for gamblers and football fans. They want to blast through this, Cam. They're not like, oh, everything's fine. They're going to start. There's no official start date. They're taking it, you know what I mean? So they're in training, etc. The plan is mid-May, and they're finished by the end of June. Season's over. No fans.
Beautiful.
Rapid fire.
And that's the right way to do it.
They're going to play every 3 days. Every 3 days. Three games a day. Every 3 days is the plan type of thing.
Sounds brilliant to me to get it done that quick because you know you're obviously dealing with these type of circumstances that are dangerous. Great idea. Quick season. Get it done. Hopefully by the time we're talking about it.
They test a lot in Germany.
Yes, they do.
It's like they have the genie in the bottle more already, right?
Yeah they got on it earlier.
And this is what we talk about, people. Like, this is for all you people like Dak Prescott and you idiots that Germany suppressed it immediately.
Yes.
Therefore, now they're already in the process of trying to bring sports back.
Yeah.
We don't suppress it. We can't get sports back. Figure it out, people.
Exactly.
Like, I you know what I'm like, you need, it's crazy to me because I even said this before. It upset me about Texas and these places before that were shutting down. Like I said, I don't care. If you want to injure yourself in life, go ahead and do it. But the longer that everybody doesn't isolate and social distance, et cetera, is the longer that we get back to normalcy in sports. So I remember the guy in Georgia a couple of weeks ago with the beaches and stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know, man. Like, maybe you got to get, like, the Georgia Bulldogs to do, like, a PSA or something and say, listen, y'all, stay in. Otherwise, you won't get to see us play football.
I think that's a great idea.
So I was thinking that, but, and I even brought it up in Dallas. I said, you got to get like the Cowboys or something to do like an announcement and tell people, guys, you're not going to have Dallas Cowboy football to watch in September if we don't.
You might want to ask the Dallas Stars because the Dallas Cowboys broke the rules.
Well, I would ask the Dallas Stars. I don't know where they are.
That's a good point. Where are they?
Like, where are the hockey players, Cam? Like, People criticize the NBA horse. Hey, they took a time out of their Sunday night. At least they tried. Chris Paul was cracking jokes. Like, they were in a good mood. They were trying to entertain people. I don't know. Like, the NHL players, guys, pathetic. I actually just read something that the NHL is proud how their players have been involved in social media and stuff. You guys are AWOL. I don't know where the hell you are. No. I haven't seen any NHL player do any funny video. They haven't planned anything. Like, how come one NHL guy, Cam, isn't in his driveway doing some trick shots for us? Just saying, hey, man, I'm Connor. Hey, it's Connor here. What's going on, guys? Bam. Like, just smashing tennis balls against the wall or something. Dude, even Roger Federer did a video of, like, he was just practicing.
He's also
like,
hey, donated, him and his wife donated a hell of a lot of money, too. So, when you're talking about Mr. Federer. No, Federer's the real deal. Like, this guy, like, I got to be honest with you. Like, if he runs for office, he's a lock in Switzerland one day. But that's a story for another day. You're right. We've got a lot of gymnast videos. We got a lot of other stuff that we've shown on the program. You're right. I haven't really seen anything. I will say this. I think they're self-quarantining because I haven't seen them out partying or doing anything. But I haven't heard much from the league or
you know what, right now,
anything.
Austin Matthews is just probably just pissed drunk every day. Yeah, I'm like, just thinking, I can't imagine him working out. I can just imagine like him and he's in Arizona in his big house, just drinking all day, probably like swinging golf clubs in the house. You know what I mean? Like
a golf simulator. Yeah. That's the thing. When you got a lot of money, you got a lot of toys, right? But yeah, you're right. I haven't seen any videos or anything. Hopefully they come up with a plan, but who knows?
Now this is something too. I don't know what the hell's going on with these guys. So last week, Bubba Wallace lost sponsors with Blue Emu because he quit in a rage over the NASCAR iRacing stuff, okay? This week, Kyle Larson's now suspended indefinitely after a video game in which he used a racial slur. And he starts, like, saying stuff. Other drivers say to him, yo, buddy, everyone hears you.
Yeah.
Now, I want to know, listen, he lost like Blue Emu, Bubba Wallace. Kyle Larson better, like, so you drop an N-bomb, you're dropping N-bombs and you're not going to lose sponsors of Bubba Wallace? Yes.
What, he did?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Well, that's insane. Screw Blue Emu.
He's playing a video game.
That's ridiculous.
And they're like, suspended. I'm like, well, this guy, Bubba Wallace, who happens to be black.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, we should know, he wasn't calling anybody that. He dropped it as a... He was calling... Dude, they're nuts. They have spotters, Cam, for this video stuff.
No, this is...
There's a pit crew and spotters. He was yelling at his spotter, who's behind me? And he's like, yo. And then he drops it like... And then other people are like, yo, Kyle, what are you, an idiot? Like, people are like, Kyle. Like, everyone jumped in over the headset right away and said, yo. And, oh, now he's apologizing.
I don't care. It's too late. In today's world, you can't do that. It's unacceptable. There's so many other things you could do. You could say dick or, you know, jerk or whatever. Like to use that, it's just so brain dead. No, that's so stupid. No, but how?
I told you, though, the NASCAR guys are hotheads. Like, they can't even do, like, video games.
They can't do a simulation without freaking
out. Like, if I'm NASCAR now... I'm just shutting it down.
Shut it down. Yeah,
I'm just saying, all right, guys, it's been 2 weeks in a row. One of you walks out like a little girl. You other one dropping, like, racial stuff. What the hell's wrong with you guys? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we got to stop this. Like, cut the series.
Yeah.
They keep going, but I'd warn them. Next guy, you're suspended for a year when we come back.
You know, NASCAR, what's his car? Who's on his car? Larson. Who's his big deal? He's going to lose a sponsorship.
Chip Ganassi Racing.
Yeah. That's big.
McDonald's.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's right. He is the McDonald's car. That is not a good situation. You better look for a new fast food chain.
Yeah, you're done.
Like, you can't do that. You cannot.
You're lucky right now, McDonald's, his president's got a lot on his mind with this virus and everything going on. But...
about the restaurants and the drive-thrus, and now you got to work.
He's got enough problems that he doesn't need to know what Kyle Larson did what during a video game. Are we paying this idiot? Like,
it's got 289 emails. You're like, oh my God, Larson, what are you doing?
No, you're done. Like, yeah, McDonald's has to drop him.
Yeah, I would definitely.
I thought Blue Emu kind of overreacted with Bubba Wallace.
I agree with Lou Emus should settle down. Like, you got Chuck Lorber.
The guy's a hothead. Like, yeah, he got emotional during a video game. Like,
come on. It's like cream for, like, my
He didn't even insult anyone, Cam. You know what he said? He said, F you all. He goes, F you all, I'm out. And I guess he got up and he sort of, like, threw the, you know.
Worse was the way they did it, too. Like, Donald Trump's like, Blue Emu, you're fired. Like a joke. Like, they actually yes. firing him.
I remember the harsh tweet. Blue Emu, we like drivers, not quitters.
Exactly. Yes.
You're playing a video game, Blue Emu.
You're right. This NASCAR video game, shut it down now before disaster happens.
It's ruining lives, Ken.
Next, we're going to get death threats and stuff. Like, enough. Like, stop.
Watch the domino effect. The poor bastard at McDonald's that signed his deals, probably he's going to get fired now, too. The McDonald's guy's going to get Larson's done. And who's the jackass and who what?
Hire this guy.
Get Dan on the phone. Yeah, Dan, you're the one? You're gone, too.
Yeah.
Just imagine if the guy, like, people don't realize the domino effect in life. Just imagine if, like, the guy that did this is already pissing the boss off already.
Yeah, he's done.
And, like, Larson's his guy. You know what I mean? Like, Larson's, like, your client with McDonald's.
You're right. The company.
Like, Larson could have just screwed a bunch of people over. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, the guy who hired him, like, who's like, it's a good idea to hire Larson. We want him to represent McDonald's. The guy who did that could be on the edge, too. But Larson.
I can't believe it, too. McDonald's? Oh, you're totally done. There's no way in hell you can sign right now.
If they keep this guy around, that's just insane.
Like, if it was like Red Man chewing tobacco, it'd be like, yeah, they'll probably just like, they'll give him a slap on the wrist.
No, McDonald's, that's you're wrong company, bud.
Honestly, though, like, what the hell are these guys doing?
They're
like, two weeks, huh? Like, it's like, hell in a handbasket. All right.
It just tells you what people, like, you don't know what kind of people there are, right? Like, you don't know their tendencies and stuff.
No, I know what kind of people they are. I just imagine what he really says during, like, when we all can't hear him.
Yeah, it's a good, excellent point. No,
The thing is, these idiots, though, at NASCAR, they all know this. Yeah. NASCAR doesn't even like when they swear, right? Because it's the Bible Belt and stuff. And Kyle Busch, trust me, swears, Cam.
All the time.
Right? But remember we talked on yesterday's show about how when you're a caddy, part of your jobs get yelled at. Like, these NASCAR drivers, they abuse the pit crew, bro.
Oh, definitely.
Like, hey, what the F? How come you didn't tell me this guy's around? Like, it's really... You know, they'll berate the car. This car sucks. How do you want me to win with this piece of end?
Yeah.
And then when it's going, oh, great job, guys. And they're going, they're back in it. Like, yeah, all right. Like,
they were really dancing today. We're nice and quick.
Oh, yeah. I was at 19. It's helter skelter, right? But they all know everyone can hear you. The fans can hear you. Like, the fans in NASCAR pay for that access, Cam. There's, like, NASCAR All Access.
Yeah.
So you can hear inside the driver's car.
I'm going to be honest with you. The way things are going, they should probably lose that all access and go get a mute button or a dump button. It's not working. No, it's not. Right. I'm sorry.
Got a great question from Pete. Wish we had more time.
Yeah.
He always got good ones. Favorite goalie mask of all time, going old school.
I got a few. I got a couple for you, Gabe. The Gilles Meloche, Cleveland Barons is my favorite, but the best out of them all, an oldie but goodie, Jerry Cheever's Boston Scars, with all the scars on that mat. The Cheever Scars, the Gilles Meloche Cleveland Barons, those are my two. But lots of good ones, lots of great ones from that era.
Yeah, John Davidson used to have a badass Ranger.
Oh, yeah, he sure did.
Great. In the old days. I'm a big fan of them all. Buddy in Detroit had a real cool one. The Jerry Cheever Scars one is right up there. You know, when I was a kid, I was a goalie, and I'm old enough that I actually, I played when there was still goalie masks.
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, I made my own.
Yeah.
I customized, well, my mom did actually. mom made it. But I was a big fan of the rock band Kiss as a kid. I made the goalie mask. And made it like Ace Frehley.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which was pretty like innovative at the time too, right? Right. Like, especially because everyone had sort of standard masks. So I had like the like silver and black and stuff. It was real, real, real cool. But yeah, I think you nailed it. The Jerry Cheevers is the staple. That's the staple. Because he put stitches on it. Wherever he got hit with a puck.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah, so it's like wherever it would have been. Yeah. So there was marks all over it. Yeah. Like, you know, he did the little stitch marks, but I'm looking here. Wayne Stevenson had a good
one. Oh, Wayne Stevens had a lot of good ones too with Philly. Yeah. Stevenson's good, definitely. That Whalers one's good.
It was Jim Rutherford. That's who was the goalie.
Rutherford had good ones too. Yeah.
Bad. He always had all those guys in the 70s had the cool flat.
You're right.
Like just sort of badass masks, you know?
Even our boy Mike Liut from the old days used to have good masks.
Danielle Bouchard.
Yeah.
The Calgary Flame one. They were all great. Like the 70s masks are the best. Bernie Wolf's USA mask is real cool. You mentioned the Joe Meloche, the Barons.
Awesome.
That's like, yeah, that's as cool as it gets.
Right? Yeah, that's how I told you. Those are my two. I got Cheevers with the stitches and Meloche, legendary.
You can't forget, though, about Ken Dryden in the classic. Ken,
yeah, he's good. They're all good. That era, you said it, the mask back then, awesome.
Yeah, everything is, everything was just better in the 70s. TV, logos, jerseys, you know what I'm saying? Like, just everything, everything was. All right, good stuff, Cam.
Yep.
As always, Kevin Walsh is going to step up and in.
Our boy Walsh, another great Iona product.
Iona's on fire.
They are. Iona's running the show. We love the Gales.
Iona's taking things over, and it's funny because, the Westchester, Roger Goodell is actually going to be announcing a pick from his basement. Right from Iona. He lives out there. I think he lives on the same street as Puccio.
Does he really?
Puccio's another kid, makes bigger money than us. Goodell's his neighbor. Him and Mariano Rivera. Like, I don't know where all these guys get the money.
He knows everybody.
Yeah, poor Yanks dodging bullets in Spanish Harlem. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.